I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Friday, September 24th, and it's time for the Pick Show. That's right. It's time for the Best Bets Show in the feed. Right? Currently, you can check out the Thursday Night Football recap. If you haven't watched the game yet, you could also, in theory, go listen to the Thursday Night Gambling Preview. I hope we were right. I hope our DFS stuff hit. And maybe I won $1 million and I didn't show up for work today. That's why we record this on Thursday, just in case that happens on Thursday night. We didn't win $1 million in week two with our best bets, but we did okay. Joining me to talk about those bets and to look forward to week three, Pete Prisco and RJ White. What's up, fellas?
Did really good in week two, except for a garbage Steelers team that apparently is terrible.
Oh, man, Steelers actually blew the can't lose parlay. Would have hit if not for the Steelers. And you know who we can blame the Steelers on, Pete?
Jamie Eisenberg.
Ding, 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 ding. That's right. The start of the week was Ben Roethlisberger. 1 week after causing Raheem Mostert to potentially end Raheem Mostert's career, Jamie jinxed the Steelers and maybe ended Big Ben's career because Big Ben is banged up.
And not only jinxed Mostert, his family got threats and stuff. It was terrible. And then Ben, terrible, gets a little banged up. And now who's his start?
Tyson Williams. Sorry for your loss. Sorry for your loss, Ravens. It's another running back.
Look at RJ's face is great because RJ, you know, does the fan. He's the fan of the fantasy and sports.
He's Jamie's boss. He's like,
yeah, and he's getting mad. RJ, you're getting mad at Jamie. The pressure's on him.
I'm not getting mad. It's just kind of so like he gets the injury the first week. And the second week, me didn't end Ben's career. Ben's career was over before you made that pick. So it's like he's just he's the only one that doesn't know it. And then the third pick, he takes, you know, a Baltimore running back who, you know, God forbid a Baltimore running back. It's here. We haven't seen that yet this year. Right. So it's like, you're kind of hitting layups
He takes a Baltimore running back against the defense against not the run. We saw that
RJ, just from a workflow and office ethics perspective. Next, let's say Tyson Williams, his leg shatters in 17 different places this week against the Lions. Will you allow Jamie to pick Patrick Mahomes at the start of the week in week four, just so he can get a W?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
And by the way, let's hope that doesn't happen for Tyson Williams. You know,
let's hope it doesn't happen for Patrick Mahomes. He picks Mahomes.
Or anybody.
He should have to name himself the start of the week if something bad happens to Tyson Williams. Oh
my God. He's going to listen to this and name Prisco the start of the week next week.
He tried to name Stafford last week just to mess with me. That's sicko. All right. Anyway, let's dive into week two records. As we mentioned, we lost the can't lose parlay. It did go 2-3, though. You can tell one is about to pop. RJ went 5-2, scorching. Cowboys win, 49ers win. Raiders, Steelers under, Bears and Panthers all covered, loses the Steelers, Seattle somehow, that's a tough one, and the Pittsburgh teaser, ouch, Steelers really killed you. Pete and I both went 4-3, Pete hit the Titans.
Wait, I went 5-2, dude.
I'm just reading what's in front of me. Did the Texans cover?
Yes.
They did cover, that's right. All right, yeah, Pete went 5-2. All right, sorry,
if RJ, you went 5-2 or 4-3?
5-2.
All right, so we went.
RJ lost the teaser too. So actually, I think RJ went 5-3.
5-2.
You didn't have a teaser.
I had a teaser, but you're reading the two legs of the teaser the same. I didn't have Seattle by themselves. I had them as part of the teaser.
Gotcha. Okay. But you had the Steelers by themselves?
Yes.
Okay. And then Seattle, Pitt. Okay. All right. Yeah. My bad. Read that wrong. Seahawks should have covered anyway, by the way. I went 4-3. Won the Pittsburgh under, Bills, Pats, Panthers, and lost the Steelers, the Dallas LA over, and the San Francisco Philly over. So I'm now 8-6. Pete, 7-6. RJ, 7-7. We are ready to take. Oh, sorry. Pete, 8-5. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Come on. Come on. Don't take away my victories. They're hard enough to get.
So Pete, 8-5. I'm 8-6. RJ, 7-7. We will all be well north of 500 after another hot week. Let's get started. The Bucks at the Rams. Woo-hoo-hoo. What a game this is. Bucks minus 1.5 after a little bit of late week steam. The over under is 55.5. Tampa has scored 30 plus points in 9 straight games, the second longest streak in NFL history. They are currently tied for second longest with the 06-07 Patriots. Quarterback by Tom Brady, who actually owns 3 of the 5 longest streaks of 30 plus points scored in a row. The only one longer than the current Bucs streak is the 2012 and 2013 Broncos and Peyton Manning, who had 12. Tom Brady also 499 yards away from tying Drew Brees' all-time passing yardage record. Something tells me he won't have more than 498 this week, Pete, because they're going to play the Patriots in New England next week. Do you think that the 30-plus point streak continues against the Rams?
Yes, I do. But here's my concern, and I'm concerned about it, but I'm not, because I know Bruce Arians. Ideally, you should go there and pound the Rams and run it, but that's not what they do. That's not what Bruce Arians does. So I think they're just going to be who they are, which is to throw the football around. And I'm a little concerned about the way the Bucs defense has played. I know they had 2 pick sixes last week, but and they're a little dinged up in the secondary, and that's starting to show. So I think the Rams are going to score points. I think Tampa Bay will win the game. So I'll take Tampa Bay as one of my best bets. I mean, I'll take the over as one of my best bets, but I think Tampa Bay wins the game.
The Rams D isn't their usual dominant self. Indy got into Rams here to run 7 of their first 8 drives. That's not great going against a guy with 9 passing touchdowns who's about to break the record that Brinson was talking about. The Rams offense will likely be able to score points too. Henderson injury should help them by making them air it out more. You don't want to run it against Tampa anyway. Since this look ahead had LA favored by for some reason, you get pretty nice value now that it's moved to the Buccaneers past that one number, teasing it up. So I'm going to tease the Rams up to plus 7.5. That'll be the first leg of my teaser. And we're going to get to the second team here in a second.
I like that move. And so I take it that you don't necessarily love the Rams. You just think this is going to be a close game and you want a team within 7.5 points, right?
Yeah, I like the Tampa on the opening line for sure, but I had it like at 1.5 too. So now that it's in that range, I'm not like thrilled to take Tampa. I still would lean that way. But I think there's a lot more value just teasing it up because there's a few good teaser games, but there's one in particular I like we'll get to in a second.
Just out of curiosity, and I know that this is not helpful to listeners, but I do think it's you could always tweet it out after the recording or during the recording. If this show were being recorded on Wednesday for a Thursday release, would you have included as the second team in that teaser the Carolina Panthers, or would you still go in the same direction you're going?
Probably the same direction I'm going. I like Carolina against the spread anyway. I gave that out early in the week at minus 7.5 for Sports Science subscribers. So it's moved up. It moved up. You know, now we're on game day as we're recording. I don't think it's going to go back down. So I just play that straight. I don't think there's a way they I don't have to worry about Houston covering in that one. Not with that quarterback. I hope.
Sounds good. Yeah, we hope you're correct in your post game prediction. That game did fly up. Holy moly. At any rate, if you want to get RJ's picks, all of them released on Sportsline, go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code EDGE, E-D-G-E, or promo code WHITE, get the color white, and you will get your first month for $1. I have the Bucks as a best bet, and I realize that the 1.5 is not ideal. I'd obviously much rather have it as a pick or be getting a point, but I just think Tampa's I'm not sure anybody's adjusted to just how good Tampa is. And I agree with Pete, the defense is not as good as we thought. But, man, Tom Brady is feeling it on offense, and they're going to sling it around. I love the Rams. I could see this game going over for sure. It's just a lot of points. I will take the Buccaneers to go into L.A. and come away with a win. The WFTs, the Washington football team, is at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills defense playing a lot better than it has, than it did last year. It seems like it's regressing to the norm. They've only allowed 234 yards per game, the fewest in the first 2 weeks since 2005. Bills minus 7.5, over under 45.5 here, Pete.
Yeah, they faced the Steelers' juggernaut of an offense and Miami's wonderful offense without their quarterback. Look, I like Buffalo. You guys know how I feel about the Bills. I think they're going to win the whole thing. This is going to be a tough spot for them. And the reason it's going to be a tough spot because that Washington defense has not played close to being as good as it should be. And something's not right. Chase Young hasn't played as close to being as good as he should be. And I think that'll change here. I think they're going to keep the game close. I think Buffalo wins the game. But if you're going to give me more than a touchdown, I'm going to take it. So I'll take the Washington football team plus the 7.5. And I think Heinicke will do enough to keep that defense a little bit honest. So I'll take the 7.5.
Buffalo defense looks like what we thought Washington's defense looks like. And A.J. Epinesa looks like Chase Young right now. He's just playing out of his mind. So we'll see if that continues. I do agree that Washington's defense is due for a course correction. But, you know, Buffalo's offense has regressed a little bit too, and that defense is covering it up. I think it has a better chance of being a defensive battle than a shootout. I think not just the way I would look. But the play I'm making is to throw it in the teaser and tease it down because I'm worried, like Pete said, about them covering that big number. So I like Buffalo minus 1.5 is the second leg of my teaser with Rams plus 7.5.
Okay.
Like that.
I've got, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Pete.
No, I said I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I do
That's
too.
A good teaser.
This is, there's a man, RJ, how many teaser legs do you count on the slate this week? It feels like, you know, as we mentioned, Carolina, of course, on Thursday, Buffalo, KC, just in terms of like teams that you think could probably, maybe even, you could even include the Broncos maybe at 11. I don't know if
the Browns is a good one at 7. You know, they opened, they were 9 on the look ahead and it's come down now that Fields is a quarterback, which is a little bit weird to me. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Ravens, everybody's going to put the Ravens in. I would hesitate that a road team coming off an emotional spot. We'll talk about that game in a bit, but at minus 8 right now, I mean, everybody's going to want to tease the Ravens and I would hold off for that, but Cardinals will be there. Cardinals, 7.5 against Jacksonville. People want to get them down because Jacksonville looks terrible.
I mean, there's a reason they call them teasers. Like, don't get me wrong, they can hit, but when everybody, I mean, I joked on HQ the other day, like Robbie popped in the office and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm thinking about doing a Panthers Cardinals teaser. Is that the like when everybody's teasing the Panthers and the Cardinals together and they're on the road and it's a little fishy."
Wait. Roll it back a second. So you've made your son a degenerate already?
I didn't do anything. He just made himself a degenerate.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right.
I know, right? From Papa degenerate to the son degenerate.
Hey, I got Robbie that sports line code and he got signed up and now he's making some smart picks.
I hope he's not following his father.
I will say, so my stepfather-in-law, like AKA stepdad, he'll like Carrie, awesome guy, but it's like if he ever calls me and I'm like, hello, he's like, hey, if he calls me Will, then I know, like, he's like, hey, Will. He's like, I'm like, what do you want, Carrie? He's like, you know, I can't get that sports line login that you got me quite working. he pops on there, but I always tell him to follow RJ's picks. Anyway, I've got, I don't know where the hell, what the hell am I talking about? I got the Washington football team as a best bet too. 7.5 is just too much. This offense is actually, I mean, I think better than people think with Taylor Heinicke. In fact, he holds the record for most completions through 3 starts in NFL history. Broke Joe Burrow's record with 93. It's a tough matchup. I don't foresee Sean McDermott's team blowing out Ron Rivera's team. I just think it ends up being within one score. So I will take Washington as a best bet. Chargers.
By the way, if we're talking about a potential pick for the parlay, I also like the under in the game, and I'm sure you do too, Will.
Oh, yeah, RJ.
Because RJ liked that
too. Yeah, I didn't make it a best bet, but yeah, that would be the way I'm leaning. If I don't like the spread either way, but under would be the way.
Let's throw in the parlay. I love the under here.
Okay.
I don't think we'll see a bunch of scoring. All right. So nobody's got it as a best bet, but I like it. Good call, Pete. Chargers at the Chiefs. Chiefs minus 6.5. The over under 54.5. The Chiefs have won 12 of 14 meetings with the Chargers. The Chargers won the last one in Week 17. When Mahomes, I think, only played a quarter or something like that. Maybe and Kelsey might have even played. They have not won 2 straight against the Chiefs since 2003. Mahomes has won 7 straight home games and 14 of 15 home games, while Justin Herbert has won 3 straight road games. Which trend snaps here, Pete?
Well, the Chiefs are going to win the game. I just think the Chargers are going to hang around. We've seen that. And I know it's a different defense and it's a different – But Gus Bradley always had a nice zone defense to keep Mahomes, forced him to be patient. And I think they're going to do that as well here and force him to be a little patient. And he doesn't like it. And he'll hit his shots. And they'll get – this game will get loose at some point. I predict that. I do like the over. I think the over is a great play here. I know most people lean to the under, but I'm going with the over. And I also think that the Chargers are going to hang around. You're going to give me almost a touchdown with Herbert being able to expose what I think is an average defense at best. I think there's going to be opportunities for him to make some plays. So I'll take the Chargers as one of my best bets, and I also like the over as one of my best bets.
My power rating say this should be 9.5, and so that I should be all on the Chiefs. And I think all that is I'm a little too aggressive on them. I don't trust my power ratings as much at the extremes. You know, is the team as good, better than what we normally see from the best teams in this league? So I think this line is probably fairly priced. I'm not rushing to take the Chiefs now. I mean, the Chargers offense hasn't scored a lot of points yet, but they got the ball into Dallas territory on every drive. They only had 7 drives total. It was a quick game. They're going to start scoring points at some point, and the high total here is foreshadowing it. I think people understand that this Chargers defense hasn't blown up yet. So with how that Chiefs defense has looked, I mean, it's a backdoor cover spot for the Chargers. So I don't like the Chiefs to cover a decent number anyway. So 6.5 seems to be baiting us to take the Chiefs at less than a touchdown at home. So I'm just going to stay away. I would probably lean Chargers just because of that. You know, you're trying to trick me into taking the Chiefs, but I'm just staying away from this one.
Yeah. I don't have a best bet on this one either. I lean towards the Chargers as well, primarily just because it's too much. And I think if you look at what the Chargers are capable of doing, it's getting involved in one score games that they lose in the last second. Wow. Turns out that Brandon Staley didn't magically fix the Chargers ability to make dumb mistakes. It's not as egregious as it was with Anthony Lynn per se, but I just don't think they're going to get blown out here. They have too much going on offense. If I was going to look for a bet here though, if you want a little prop bet action, Austin Ekeler over receptions or receiving yards. I think it's like 39.5. I bet he gets heavily used in this particular matchup and ends up catching a ton of passes. So that would be a prop bet I like, but nothing in terms of the best bets here for me. Seahawks at the Vikings. Seahawks -1.5 in Minnesota. Over under 55.5. Russell Wilson, 7-0 in his career against Minnesota, including the playoffs. That is the best win-loss record against Minnesota by any quarterback in NFL history. Russ can pick up his 100th career win in the regular season with a victory over Minnesota and Mike Zimmer this weekend. Does he get it, Pete?
No, he does not. And I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. You know, desperation is at play here in a big way for the Vikings. And people say, well, Seattle can't go to 1-2 in a good division. But 0-3 basically sends you out of the postseason, I think. I know there's 17 games, but you can't go 0-3. This is their home opener. Seattle's defense was bad. Minnesota's defense isn't very good right now either. So I think this is an over game. And again, all the fantasy people got angry last week because there wasn't a lot of scoring. This week, it's going to come back the other way. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring. I think this game will go over. I like the Vikings and I like the over both in this game as my best bets.
I got a best bet on the Seahawks -1.5. Minnesota's D hasn't been good. Minnesota's offense might not have Cook at 100% after getting dinged up. Minnesota had back-to-back gut punch losses in the last second after that missed field goal. I don't know where they're at mentally. It's a hard for them, I think, to prepare in this game. Seattle always plays excellent after a loss. NFL best. Almost 70% cover rate since 2016 after a loss. I'm not sure how the Minnesota defense with how they're playing slows down the Seattle offense, but I could see a bounce back game from Seattle defense. So if it's a close game, I much more trust Seattle in the late game scenarios. And I do Minnesota with what we've seen from them. So I like Seahawks to cover, even if it is close.
I have the over as the best bet as well. And I like Seattle and will probably bet on Seattle, or maybe already did bet on Seattle. They're just in a good place right now with that offense. Now the problem is, and this is why I like the over, is I don't think the Seahawks defense is very good right now, particularly in the secondary. And both Pete Carroll and Mike Zimmer want to pound the ball and run. But the way that they're letting Russ approach this offense and the way that Shane Waldron is setting things up, the Seahawks are going to throw and be aggressive down the field early in the game. And when they do that, it's going to lure the Vikings into the game that they don't want to play because they're going to be trailing. And they're going to let Kirk Cousins wing it all over the place. And it's just going to turn into a shootout. And we're going to get over 60 points. I think this is the sneaky DFS stack of the week too, because everyone's going to focus on Bucks, Rams, and Chargers, Chiefs, more than likely. This is a game where you can load up with Russ, Lockett, and then bring it back with Justin Jefferson or Adam Thielen, and potentially have a big week. So I'm quite high on the over here, and like the Seahawks to find a way to win. Ravens at the Lions. Ravens -8. Over under 50, Pete. Do you think that Dan Campbell's ankle or knee biting upstarts can keep it close in this one? Like
no.
They tried to on Monday.
No, but they play hard, and that's a reflection of him. He's building to something. It's hard to win when you have all young players and guys that aren't stars on a team. And so they hung around the other night. They made it interesting for a while. I don't think they're going to make it interesting here. RJ made a good point, though. Here's a team coming off an emotional win at home, now goes out on the road against a team that's not very good. You should win this game. But I think the Ravens are that much better. I'll take the Ravens. I think this is actually a pretty easy pick.
And the Ravens have the likely 3-0 Broncos next week. So you start looking ahead like, Broncos are going to win this week. You think, that's a big test for us. And you're coming off that. You finally, slay the dragon. You got the monkey off your back with Kansas City. So it's Detroit isn't as terrible as I expected. It might shock a few teams this year. And Detroit's offense had 6.1 yards per play versus the Packers. They just stunk in the second half once it started pouring. We don't have to worry about that in this game. So I think with the letdown spot for Baltimore here, it feels like this is a more competitive game than Baltimore expects and that they're ready for. And they win this one by one score instead of two. So I got best bet Lions +8. I think it's one of the better spots you're going to find, catching the Ravens coming off that big win here. And nobody's going to like the Lions because they're 0-2 and everybody expected them to be bad, but they're not a basement level bad team. They're not like the Jaguars and how some of these Jets have been playing. They've actually been pretty solid in their game. So give me Detroit +8.
I would lean towards the Lions as well, mainly because I agree. The Ravens are a much better team. They can pound the Lions into submission, assuming Tyson Williams is alive by the time
he'll have a pregame like ankle injury or something based on
food
Jamie's track record.
Pregame meal food poisoning. That's happening.
If you're the Ravens and you hear he's Jamie's start of the week, do you like make him inactive? Just keep him healthy this week. roll out there with Murray and those guys.
Hope they get him to the next week, or you just keep him on the sidelines and let Murray carry the whole time.
Oh my God, that's even funnier. If you bench right. him, you bench him, and Jamie's like, I know. Wow, how could this happen?
Because Jamie tried to use the injury excuse twice already, so we can't give him we can't give him the injury excuse for Roethlisberger last week. That's not, you can't.
No, Big Ben played like crap, and now Big Ben's acting like he's hurt.
Mostert gets the excuse, but not Ben.
Yeah, but I mean, also maybe don't pick a guy who's potentially like fragile and gets injured all the time as your start of the week in week one. But I don't know what to tell you. At any rate, I like the Lions to keep it close. Granted that Ravens could run all over them, but I don't think the Ravens defense is good enough to completely stop Jared Goff. The only reason that the Lions didn't cover against the Packers last week was because it started pouring down rain and they had that fumble where they got down two touchdowns and they had to throw and they just couldn't do it. So you look, the other thing to look here, Hockenson overs, DeAndre Swift overs in the receiving game. I know that those are fragile and all of that, but they're going to be tossing it to them a ton. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, more best bets. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Packers at the 49ers. This old chestnut. Look, man, it hadn't been a good run for Matt LaFleur against his old pal, Kyle Shanahan. The 49ers have embarrassed the Packers on multiple occasions, and they are favored at home -3.5 over under 49.5. Pete, I can't remember. Did you pick the Packers to go to the Super Bowl?
No, Tampa Bay.
Oh, Bucks, Bills. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to get caught. I still like the Packers, and I think we saw the Packers team that we're going to see going forward. I'm still concerned about that defense, though. I mean, I just think when you look at the defense, you know, Goff and that group did some good things early in that game, and you mentioned the rain kind of slowed them down a little bit. So we know what the 49ers are going to do. They're going to try and pound the football at them. Whoever plays running back, they've done it time and again against Green Bay. I think that's their secret to beating them. But I think this time around, the Packers will show up and play better in the run game. And I think Rodgers seemed to be getting back into what he should be doing last week. They were lifeless in week one. They won't be lifeless here. I think the Niners will win the game, but I think it's going to be really, really close. And therefore, I'll take the Packers.
I got a best bet Packers. I do worry that the Packers offensive line will have trouble against the San Francisco pass rush because they haven't looked great in the early going. But I move Green Bay power rating down one as the defense doesn't look great, like Pete was saying, and those offensive line men have issues. I move San Francisco up one, though their offense wasn't great last week. And I still couldn't get this line to 49ers -3.5. So I see value with Green Bay here. Rodgers has an 18-2 touchdown interception ratio against this team and the one that snubbed him in the draft. So, you know, he takes these games personal. He shouldn't be catching this many points against a San Francisco team that struggled to put up points against two presumed basement teams, or struggled to put away two presumed basement teams the last couple of weeks. Because I know the Eagles are better than we thought, but everybody had those two teams in the basement on their divisions, and they haven't put them away. So Packers are a much, much better, you know, jump in competition here. And I like their chances to win this game. 3.5 is too much. It's going to get down to 3. So get it to 3.5.
Yeah, if it gets down to 3, then I really like the 49ers. I was leaning Packers for a while, and then last night as I was doing my picks, I decided that I like the 49ers here, and so I'm going 49ers. I don't really have a bet on it, certainly not a best bet on it. That is the Sunday night game, so, you know, we'll probably squeeze something in. But I agree with you guys. 3.5, probably take the Packers. At 3, would stay away and take the 49ers. Something about it stinks. Eagles at Cowboys, Monday Night Football. Cowboys -3.5 over under 51.5. Finally, a standalone game for Debo's guy, Jalen Hurts. Pete, are you excited about what Nick Sirianni is cooking up, or did week two temper your expectations for the Eagles this year?
Well, I didn't like going for that gimmick play on 4th and goal from the 2. It kind of set, they were dominating that game up until that point. And then they go down and get a touchdown. And so I didn't like that call. I would have kicked the field goal, made it 6. But Hurts is doing some good things. I think defensively they've done some good things. And Dallas, look, Dallas played a really impressive game last week. Not so much offensively, but considering the guys were down on defense, and they impressed me last week. But I think the Cowboys will win the game, but I think that's too many. I'll take the Eagles plus the points.
Dallas D has been better than expected. I agree. 2 weeks in a row now, they even though they gave up those points to the Bucks, I mean, I think they played better than anybody thought they would these 2 weeks. Philadelphia defense losing Brandon Graham is a problem. And I'm not sure the offense is as good as we saw in that first week. Hurts was just 12 of 23 last week, had about half his yards on one big play. So it's not like he was consistently putting together stuff against them. You know, it was a pretty good defense. And as the Cowboys seem to be emerging defensively, I would lean to the under here. Just thinking that Hurts might not have the firepower to, you know, put put up a big point total with that Dallas defense playing well. And I would lean to the Cowboys. I think it's probably a point too light, but I don't love it because prime time and who knows what their injuries, how the pass rush is going to come out. But that's kind of where I'm leaning it. But mostly it's just a stay away for me.
I would take the Eagles, I think, if I'm taking anything here. I just don't think – I know that Dallas's defense does look better. And Micah Parsons moving from linebacker to defensive end in the middle of the game, doing it as a rookie is really, really impressive. However, I am not that convinced that Dallas's defense is that good. I will take the Eagles in a primetime spot against a divisional opponent catching more than a field goal because I think they can find a way to at least, like, worst-case storm – through the back door. I lost my place. Bears at Brown. Bears. Oh, Bears. Browns. Battleship Galactica. Bears at Browns. Browns -7. Over under 45.5. Justin Fields set to make his first start, but Andy Dalton still the starter when healthy. This is what Matt Nagy's tombstone is going to read. Pete, how do you think Fields will fare against what has been a surprisingly impressive Browns defense 2 weeks into the season?
Well, I mean, when you look at it, I think Fields did some good things. There were some drop passes last week. Mooney dropped one. I think Robinson dropped one. When he got in there, the numbers would have been better. And the interception was awful. I mean, that's just a sophomoric, or I should say rookie play. It wasn't very good. So I think there's going to be ups and downs. I think they're going to get a little creative in this game, get him running a little bit more, get him outside the pocket. He did run, for 30 yards or whatever last week. I think they'll do some good things with him. But again, he's a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road against a team that some people had in the Super Bowl. So I think it's a bad situation for him. I'll take the Browns minus the points. I don't love it though, but I would take the Browns minus the points.
I do love it. I got Browns -7. Look at headline was Browns -9.5. Why would the gap close 2.5 points with Fields' performance last week?
Perception, RJ. Perception, you know that.
It's kind of ridiculous. Like, it's not like the Browns are playing terribly, you know, so it's not like they would be the one to bring it forward. I mean, isn't Cleveland around as good as the Rams? And the Rams were bigger favorites against Chicago in week 1 and easily covered that game. So Chicago is not going to get the turnovers out of Mayfield they got from Burrow to win last week. Cleveland looked sleepy versus Houston. They got it together in the second half. That Chicago offense looked bad against Cincy, even though they had those drops. I do agree. It just looks like, with the level of competition here, the level of talent on the Browns roster, they should be bigger favorites in this against a rookie making his first start on the road. Lay the points with Cleveland. If you can tease it if you feel really worried about it, but I like Cleveland here.
I think I like the Bears, and I don't know why. And I'm a little nervous that RJ likes the Browns here because Cleveland's a good football team. They're just good. If they had a different jersey on, I think we would look at them completely differently. However, I don't know that the strengths of the Browns necessarily match up against what the Bears do well on a defense. Like, the Bears' defensive front is good. Their secondary is a problem. And Cleveland's pass rush is
good. Except for Johnson, the corner is playing great.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just – the La Tech kid, right? I'm not Utah. Saying that they're – Jalen Johnson? I thought he was La Tech for some reason.
Utah. Remember, he's the kid Jalen that had Ferguson, the – Yeah, Ferguson's from Lotte.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. Jalen. Anyway. Johnson, he's been good. I'm just saying that if you're going to attack the Bears, you want to attack him through the air. And I think the Browns will be stubborn about their run game, which could lead to this being a lower scoring, closer game. Fields is going to make plays with his legs. If Matt Nagy is a good offensive coach, he will change the playbook that they are using. And he will incorporate a bunch of read option stuff, and he will give Justin Fields easy looks, and he will use his legs, and he will let him run. If Matt Nagy is a bad offensive coach, he's going to say, here's Andy Dalton's playbook that we ran. You run it, but just be different. And I don't know what the answer is, but I'm crossing my fingers and hoping it's the former. And that's how the Bears cover. And I can't wait till Sunday when I find out that it is not the former.
Yeah, you said if Nagy's a good offensive coach, and every Bears fan just started cackling. They were like, get this guy. You know, this guy is not going to make it through this season. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, he's a pretty good bet for first coach fired, huh? The Saints at the Patriots. Patriots -3, over under 42. Boy, did the Saints bandwagon come crashing down. What a wild Jekyll and Hyde 2 weeks for them, Pete. First, they slaughter the Packers 38-3, and then they barely score against the Panthers. Which is the real Saints here, and what do you expect for them, you know, third straight road game in New England?
Losing your center really showed up last week.
Oh, my God.
Ruiz is a problem. they couldn't block them. They couldn't make the right calls. They could not protect the quarterback, and they did not play well on offense. And so I think, you know, now that he's in, maybe for a week, he'll settle in a little bit better. But, you know, Belichick's going to watch that tape, and they showed so many different looks. I mean, you know, the mug blitzes they kept throwing at him, they couldn't handle him. I think they'll come after him a little bit. And, you know, Jameis doesn't move that well. So Mac Jones has done some good things. Nothing great. He's only thrown one touchdown pass, but he's managed the game, and I think they'll allow him to do it here. This situation with New Orleans might be catching up to him. I mean, you're displaced because of the hurricane. Your first game is a home game on the road. You go back to Texas, you go back out on the road, and now you're playing on the road again. I think it's too much. I'll take the Patriots minus the points.
Saints were a clear fade last week, especially with all their injuries, not only at center, but on the defensive side. That offense had just 6 first downs last week. You know, Belichick takes away the best thing you want to do. If he takes away Kamara, I mean, how are you going to move the ball with this offense the way it looks? Mac Jones doesn't look interested in going downfield at all, even when guys are open. I expect New England to engineer these longer time-chewing drives where you don't put the ball at risk because they know that the New Orleans offense probably isn't going to do much against them. I think under is the way to lean because of that. If you like the spread, I think it looks like you may be able to get it at New England -2.5. It looks like it kind of wants to tip. I see -3 even out there right now. So I'd wait for that and play it at 2.5. I think that's the way you go with the Patriots this week.
Yeah. If you can get 2.5, that's clearly better than 3 for obvious number of reasons. I like the Patriots in the spot as Pete noted that the center thing is an issue for them. I mean, it just is. The guys were flying up the middle to get Jameis Winston. Bill Belichick is going to see that. He's going to attack that position. He's going to know the weaknesses, and he's going to send pressure up the middle. And good luck stopping it. They got the tackles are great, but the interior is an issue right now. I know Sean Payton can adjust too, but I just think this lengthy departure from home is starting to wear on the Saints, and it just makes it difficult. And Jameis Winston was Jameis last week. Not as much as people wanted to say. I think he was sort of forcing it when they got down, but the Patriots can do the same thing to you. They're going to run the football. They're going to grind on you defensively and offensively. Mac Jones is not going to make mistakes, and they're going to force you to make plays. And I think when you start doing that with Jameis Winston, you could run into a little bit of that. Which one's worse? I guess Hyde, right? Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll is Dr. Jekyll good or bad? Which one do you not want to be?
Mr. Hyde's the monster.
Yeah. See, Jameis turns into Mr. Hyde when you force him to make plays. I think they force him to make plays, get bad Jameis. Give me the Patriots as a best bet. The Indianapolis Colts are headed to Tennessee for a critical game. Fun fact, you can only have 2 sprained ankles because you only have 2 ankles. And Carson Wentz has 2 sprained ankles. Both of his ankles are sprained. He has not yet been ruled out as of Thursday afternoon, but give me a friggin' break. You're going to play this guy with 2 sprained ankles, Pete? Titans -5, over under 48. How does Carson Wentz play? This line has to incorporate Jacob Eason.
It has to. And here's the other thing about Carson Wentz. Some guys are just always hurt. I mean, no matter what they do. And it's not the same body part. It's been a different body part every single time. So some guys are just, you know, jinxed that way. And I can't imagine he'll play in this game. And even if he does, how could he move? Not that the Titans are any good on defense. I mean, my gosh, Tyler Lockett was wide open so many times last week. Their busts in that secondary are amazing. Now, they are making a change in safety, but still they're so bad on the back end right now. They don't rush the passer that well. This would have been a good opportunity for the Colts to hang around and maybe steal one. But with the way Jacob Eason played in the preseason, I don't see it happening. So I'll take the Titans minus the points.
There's going to be a value once he's ruled out. It's going to go up. I don't think this line is just assuming he's up. I think it's in the midpoint right now. So that's why I have a best bet. Titans -5. Jump on it now. You guys are saying Jacob Eason. Brett Hundley's out here getting first team snaps on Wednesday, and it looks like there's a real possibility he could be playing in this game. That is a major red flag for Jacob Eason, drafted in the 4th round.
Yeah,
supposed to be the guy, you know, that's your long-term number 2.
And that could also be the gimmick. Let's get him preparing for Brett Hundley to move around. You know what I mean?
Wright came out and said they might go with Hundley.
Know, but they'll probably play both of them.
Yeah.
And that's a red flag too. I mean, Eason with where he was drafted and how long he's been with his team should be able to be this number 2 guy that can step in, be like Jacoby Brissett. You're not having those questions about Reed Sinnett, really, you know, coming in and getting some snaps there. So I seriously doubt Wentz is going to get cleared for action without missing time. With that defense, I would love a backdoor if it was somebody other than Brett Hundley. You may be getting snaps at the end of the game. And Eason, who, you know, is just not very accurate right now. So I think there's value jumping on Tennessee now. I think they run away with it and there's no backdoor here. So best bet on the Titans.
I got a best bet on the Titans as well. It has moved to 5.5 in some spots. You, as RJ says, yeah, I got to get it now. This line has to be, I heard somebody say that it would be 2.5 if it was Wentz in there. Well, why would it be 2.5 if Carson Wentz is there with two sprained ankles? Like, the guy can't move. He's not playing well. The Colts don't look like a good football team. The defense is banged up. They're not playing well either. And the Titans, I believe, wanted to save Derrick Henry until later in the season to try and keep that wear and tear off of him. But they saw what happened in the fourth quarter against Seattle. You let Derrick Henry loose and he runs all over people. This game is enormous for the AFC South rights. We know the Texans suck. The Jaguars clearly are a terrible football team. And the Colts are a wounded duck. The Titans are very lucky not to be 0-2, but they are 1-1 with a chance to go to 2-1 with a huge home victory over their theoretical only competition for that division title. You don't worry about Derrick Henry's wear and tear. You roll him out there for 30 plus carries. You let him pound the Colts and you force Jacob Eason to press or set Brett Hundley to press and to throw, try and come back. And then you let your defense do the work and you run away with this by 3 touchdowns. I love the Titans in this game.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it, how close the Titans are to be flailing and in big trouble. If Carson Wentz is actually healthy and playing in this game and they don't rally against the Titans, I mean, against the Seahawks, they could be staring 0-3 in the face with two home losses.
The Texans would be in first place 2 weeks into the season.
It's amazing. It really is.
The Colts defense is a 32nd in adjusted line yards. It's not something you like to see when you're going against Derrick Henry. So it'll be a big game for him if they decide to lean on him, like you're saying.
I expect big things from Derrick Henry. I got the Titans as a best bet. The Dolphins at the Raiders. Raiders.
So the Titans, by the way, in the parlay, throw them in. Best bet, but we all have them.
Okay. Titans in the parlay along with the Washington Bills under. I lost my place again. Dolphins at the Raiders. I'm all over the place today. Raiders -4. The line jumped up a little bit on the news but not a lot. didn't move that much on the news that Tua Tagovailoa will be out and Jacoby Brissett will be starting for the Dolphins. The over under 45. Raiders -4. You buying the Derek Carr Kool-Aid, Pete?
I think you shut up finally about Henry Ruggs on our Twitter, on our text chain.
Jerry Rice Ruggs?
Yeah. He finally stopped about that. Look, the Raiders are playing good football, and I got to give him credit. Derek Carr's playing really good MVP-like football, and the defensive line is a problem. The Miami offensive line was so bad last week. Now Brissett held the ball at times, but they were awful. I mean, just
the play
across
two
the
got
board.
Hurt. Epinesa wasn't even blocked.
I mean, they didn't pick up any calls. It was just bad across the board. So, for that reason, I don't love this game because of the emotion of beating Pittsburgh and coming home and what they put into week one, but I'll take the Raiders -4 here.
Yeah. You said, barely moved when Tua was ruled out. I think the expectation was he wasn't going to play. I think it moved because Carr was ruled in. They made it sound like he might not play earlier in the week. There was a chance he missed it. And now it sounds like he's good to go. So with him seeming like to go, it seems fine. Like this line might pick up, and keep on going up a little bit as people pile on with Brissett under there. I'm not sure there's a ton of drop off from Tua to Brissett in overall quality, but their games are pretty different stylistically. Tua gets the ball out quickly. As Pete said, Brissett just holding the ball, or I think you said just holding the ball. And that offensive line, you do not want to do that with that offensive line. And that Raiders D line playing really well. Max Crosby out here. Definitely isn't the number 4 overall pick, Cleveland Farrell, but they're getting after it with that defensive line. And I think they're going to do that in this game. So they've looked great early on. Miami's offensive line seems suspect, maybe a little bit let down for the Raiders offense. Carr's not 100%, even if it looks like he's playing under, probably looks like the play to me at 45, but I'm not playing the spread.
Yeah. And actually RJ, we don't say suspect now, we say sus. No, it's no longer suspicious or suspect. It's sus. And if you want to call somebody a name and be cool, like the kids, you call him a sussy baka.
What? You get that from Robbie too?
my Robbie calls me a sussy baka all the time. It means a suspicious idiot, which kind of fits.
Why can't people just say what the word is?
Sus. That's a new word. It says suspicious.
Oh my
or sus.
God.
Pete, you're very sus.
Yeah.
You sussy baka.
And if somebody said that to me, I say, what the hell does that mean? And when they tell me, you punch them in the teeth.
Just like a baka.
Such a sussy baka. I actually do like the under, and I had the under as a best bet. Even if Josh Jacobs, there's like some like something wrong with him. I don't really know, but I think the Raiders are going to try and run it. They'll take a couple of shots. The Dolphins are going to be hyper conservative here with Jacoby Brissett. They don't want to try and open up this offense. It can't open up this offense with that offensive, that sussy Baca offensive line that they got going over there. So give me the under in a low scoring slog fest that I don't think it'll expose Derek Carr a little bit more than he's been so far this year, but I think the Raiders will be a pretty conservative in this one as well. Cardinals -7 at the Jaguars, over under 52. If the Jaguars as 7-point underdogs at home were to lose this game, it would be the most losses in a season for an Urban Meyer coach team since 2010 at Florida, when he went 8-5 and walked away with health issues. Just pointing it out, Pete.
Well, they'll also be their 18th straight loss.
Yeah.
They're closing in on that record, and I think they have a legitimate chance to get it. They're bad right now. And the defense played a little bit better last week, and the kicker stunk. They might have been able one score game late. The problem is there's no speed on offense, zero. And so you don't have to worry about them going by you. So everybody plays them. They played a little zone defense, and he didn't have a chance last week because he was just sitting in there and he didn't check it down. He tried to force some throws. I think the biggest problem is design of offense, bad. No speed, bad. And that puts a lot of pressure on Lawrence to make plays. He's not good enough yet. The Cardinals were bad on defense last week, though. That was a disappointment to me. I thought they were dominant the week before, terrible last week. That'll change in this one. Lay the points. I'll take Arizona.
Jacksonville's offense was awful in week one. They were better last week. They had a great first drive, and then they were terrible after that. So they're getting better drive after doing one drive at a time. Maybe they'll have two good drives here. Combine that with a terrible defense, you can't play them. It should be the way we're looking based on the value of the line and the power ratings, but I have no interest in playing on Jacksonville right now. But I have no value in laying more than a touchdown on the road with a team that just gave up 33 points. Like you said, the disappointing defensive performance. Over under here is 52. May as well make that the Arizona team total because they might score 52 in this game against that defense. If you're going to play it, you're looking over. I'm just going to lean to the over and hope that the Jacksonville offense improves a little bit if you do play it. But, there is a chance they throw, 7 or 10 points in any matchup.
Here's a surprising stat. I think I saw this right, that Jaguars are third the league in pressures, and they stink rushing, and they haven't turned the ball over.
Wait, they're third in the league in terms of being pressured or pressuring?
No, pressuring.
Oh, they've generated the third most pressures and haven't created a turnover?
Correct.
That's hard to do.
They dropped a couple, but they haven't had any.
Interesting. Man, I love it when RJ's got these leans that he doesn't want to grab onto, and they also happen to be my best bets. That's a good feeling. I like the over here, and you're right. Arizona can name their number. This game is sus as hell, by the way. That every one of their brothers is teasing the Cardinals down. That's a little bit concerning to me. I think you can attack the Cardinals secondary. And I know that Jacksonville's offense isn't very good, but every week they stink for a little while and then get some deep shots down the field. And they're going to do that against Arizona. They'll get their 14 points, maybe 17, maybe even 21. Arizona's going to put up 30 in this game. And this game is going to fly over because the Cardinals are just cooking right now. Maybe it slows down a little bit if Cliff Kingsbury gets in his own way, but with what Kyler Murray's doing and the plays he's making, as long as he's healthy and his shoulder is fine, because that's what hurt him last year, Arizona's going to put up numbers. And I think this could be a big week for rookie wide receiver Rondell Moore, who's seen a ton of usage so far. This is clearly a better offense without Larry Fitzgerald out there, by the way.
I was going to say, the offensive rookie of the year race. They're coming in, you expect it's going to be one of the quarterbacks, but now Fields is getting on the field, but Lawrence definitely doesn't look like the guy you're going to vote for. Mac Jones is getting wins, but he's not getting stats. The sleeper, the guy that if it wasn't going to be one of the quarterbacks, it was Najee Harris. That offensive line is bad, and it doesn't look like he's going to put up numbers. So you might go and start digging deeper, looking for a sleeper to back, and Rondale Moore has looked great through 2 weeks, and that offense is going to put up points. So if he ends up with, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, that number, I think, is in play, and he might be in the race here late in the season.
The scouts missed on him.
Yes, they
missed on him.
Should have been a first rounder.
I remember I called him baby Tyreek Hill, but he's not as good as he doesn't run as fast as Tyreek Hill, but he has that same kind of ability.
That's short, twitchy.
Yeah, he's a great athlete too.
Yeah.
And part of it is the offense you get. And I mean, you throw him on the Jets right now, I don't think he's going to put up big numbers, but it's kind of, he lucked out getting the throw there in that offense with Kyler Murray and having an awesome number one to play alongside.
Do you think that it would be worth it at 18-1 to take Rondell Moore?
I think it's worth a flyer there. Yeah. I don't think he's the favorite by any means, but I don't see that this is going to end anytime soon. He looks like a vital part of that offense.
Nick, our buddy, Nick Costas, I was on his show last night and he asked me, Micah Parsons and Patrick Surtain are the favorites for defensive rookie of the year. He asked me maybe down the road guy. J.C. Horn is playing really good football right now, and you could get good value on him. I think he was like, 15-1? Isn't that what it was or something like that?
By the way, oh, my goodness. Caesars, Rondell Moore, offensive rookie of the year, 30-1.
Hammer that, yeah. J.C. Horn, I like before the season because we thought that defense was going to come together at some point, but we don't know if there's going to be a player of the year that emerges that you're going to vote for a Brian Burns or someone like that. So if you want to reward that defense for having a really good season, give it to J.C. Horn, you know, the first guy, defensive guy drafted. And if he had a pick last week, right? I mean, he throws a couple more picks on the ledger in the first half of the season. He's going to be in play.
His biggest problem might be Patrick Surtain, who's the guy drafted right after him, who's getting a little more buzz at Caesars right now. Surtain, the leader, the favorite for defensive rookie of the year, 5-1. Micah Parsons plus 550. Jamin Davis plus 750. And J.C. Horn 12-1, along with J.O.K. That's a list of Pete's favorites up there. Also the first four defensive guys drafted. But.
No, I like Tryon, and he should have had a sack last week. He's going to come on. You watch. Try and
worth the stab at 20-1.
By mid November, everybody's gonna say, "Oh yeah, remember when we didn't mention him at the beginning of the season? He's gonna be in the conversation by the end of the year."
So would you bet him at 20-1?
I'd take a shot at it. That's a good flyer. Rondell Moore at 18-1, 20-1.
No, Rondell Moore 30-1 on Caesars.
30-1 and 20-1. There you go.
All right. Of course, Pete would never actually bet on that. In case anybody asks it, Pete
no,
never,
I don't.
You can't because you don't. Have the vote. Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
I don't bet on that.
I'm clearing that up so you don't get Bill Simmons. Or Simmons is like, I bet a ton on LeBron.
No, MVP. I don't bet. I'm just like, giving you, I
you
give
have
you,
an MVP vote.
I give you the information.
Correct.
And if you're worried about like Pete, you know, being a little insider to help Brinson, you know, and giving him some inside information and then putting a vote one way, you clearly haven't listened to this podcast enough. He's never going to help Brinson with it.
That's right. If Pete found out I had like a big future on Rondell Moore, he'd vote for like Michael Carter. Sorry, buddy. It comes out. It's like 48-1. All right. A couple more games left on the docket. And we do need one more for the parlay, I believe. Bengals at Steelers. Steelers minus. Wait, do we want to take the over in the Jags Cards game for the parlay?
Without knowing the weather, I'm a little suspect. Being outdoors, Arizona traveling east, playing an outdoor game. You know, that I'm a little hesitant. You know, I joked that they're going to score a ton of points, but you know, I could see the conditions.
It looks like it's going to be just lovely weather.
Okay, well then,
yeah, it's also Florida.
Yeah. That's true. Sure. Yeah, there's maybe like if you could have somebody streaking. I mean, anything could happen in Florida. Although Jacksonville really more like South Georgia.
Yeah, but I'm saying the weather is, you know, rains in the afternoon in Florida.
And then right. Jacksonville needs to score points too. You just don't know what that offense. They might throw up a dud, especially if they can't block in the Arizona pass rush from the first week shows up.
All right, we'll figure something out. Bengals at the Steelers. Steelers minus 3. That line's kind of rough. I guess Big Ben concerns. Over under 43.5. This over under has kept tumbling down from 47. Pete, do you think your Cincinnati Bengals? I can't, by the way, are you aware that the Bengals fan who raised all that money for charity and then got outbid by our buddy in London there? He showed me the reason this whole chatter got started is because he showed me this list. He's like, you're on the list now. It's like enemies of the state. It's like me and there's like 10 other people.
I
there.
Saw
and
it.
Then there's like friends of the program. It's like John Breach, Pete Prisco. So you're a friend of the program. What do you think?
Well, because those guys try to put words in my mouth saying that I said that Joe Burrow would win 2 Super Bowls in 10 years. I said on draft night, I said 1 in 10. Well, now it's going to be 1 in 9 because I still think they're going to get to that point. This team isn't going to win anything this year. And this is a tough game for them. You play back-to-back road games. It's always tough to do. You're inside the division against a team who looked awful last week. I think the Steelers regroup here. I don't love this game because I don't love that Steelers offense. So I'll take the Steelers minus the points because I just don't love the game either way.
Yeah, I gave this out on Sportsline at Bengals plus 4.5 before the move, because it's just with all the Steelers injuries, you felt like it had to move down at some point. Since he could be 2-0, if not for that string of picks against Chicago, they were down in that game, but their offense finally got going after that. You know, if you get that offensive boost, even a little bit, they were going to beat Chicago, because Chicago was bad in that game. The defenses look strong so far for Cincy. It's bad news for a sputtering Pittsburgh offense that even when everybody was healthy, didn't look very good, especially with that offensive line. Pittsburgh dealing with a bunch of injuries, both sides of the ball. Don't think you can make them more than 3-point favorites against any non-basement team. Make a -3 against Jacksonville, but since he's played better than that, jumped on this one, like I said, at plus 4.5. It's plus at +3, it's a stay away. I would still lean Cincy, but I don't think there's as much value here now.
I think I picked Cincy to win outright and obviously to cover for CBS. I just think it's but you know, the Steelers kind of own the Bengals and the Browns, and I get it, but I think it's this Pittsburgh is the two. So Pittsburgh's passing offense and Pittsburgh's defensive line were where they're hanging their hat, because their offensive line and their run game were bad and their secondary is questionable. And now every one of the defensive line is banged up and JJ Watt has a groin injury. You saw what happened to that defense when he went off. It is a problem, bit of a Jenga piece on that side of the ball. And then Big Ben, you know, I mean, look, the dude had 600 something passing attempts last year. If you look at Ben's history of 600 plus passing attempts, when he does it the next year, he tends to get hurt. And we saw his arm fall off 2 years ago. So I'm concerned about this injury, and I'm concerned about the Steelers offense. I think since he pulls off an upset in Pittsburgh, but I'll take the under as my best bet, because this is a low scoring stinker of a game, a quintessential AFC North slugfest. But I'll take Cincy to win, but I would prefer the 4.5. I don't want to take the 3. Jets at Broncos. Speaking of stinkers, Broncos, Teddy Bridgewater, -10.5, over under 41.5, Pete. What a line that is.
You know how RJ talked about the Jaguars? That's how I'm going to talk about the Jets, too. I wouldn't take them in this spot ever. I think this is the Broncos' home opener. The defense is really good. It's going to be a long day for Zach Wilson, and so I'll take Denver minus the points. I hate laying points like that, but I'm not taking the Jets in that point.
Yeah, Jets offense looks horrific. Can't trust Zach Wilson right now against any good defense, and that's not great because he faces a third quality defense in a row to start the year. So Denver offense didn't exactly roll against that awful Jacksonville defense, though. And the Jets defense hasn't been nearly as bad as the offense. So I expect a super low number here with 41.5. I expect it to fall under that. I can't lay the points with Denver in this low total because there's just a little bit needs to go wrong, and then you're not hitting that because it's such a high spread to cover with what's supposed to be a low scoring game. So I would lean under. It's not a best bet, but I would lean under at 41.5.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, the Broncos are going to be a really popular survivor pick this week, and understandably, I mean, just go against the Jets. The home opener thing is huge. And this is also early in the season. You're talking about a bunch of young players, inexperienced guys who are going to go to Denver for the first time, probably most of them for the first time in terms of these Jets players. And Mile High, man, ain't no joke, especially early in the season. I think you see these guys, the Jets suck. What are they? They don't do anything well. They're not good at any level of the football of their football team. I would agree that the under would be where I would look, because I don't really want to lay 10.5 and you get some garbage, you know, coming through at the last second. I think it's just a stay away, but certainly I'll be using Denver as one of my survivor picks along with the Panthers. Hope that doesn't backfire in my face. And finally, Falcons at the Giants. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, actually played his best game of the year, maybe last Thursday, is a 3-point favorite, over under 47.5, Pete.
I'm not taking the Falcons in this spot. I just can't. That's a bad football team. And things that they got the 28-25 last week, and then anything that could happen went wrong. That's just who they are, I think. It's going to be one of those years where they're going to have a hard time winning games. Look, the Giants showed me something a little bit against Washington. Probably should have won that game. And you mentioned it, Danny Jones played good. So I'll take the Giants -3. I don't love it, but I'll take it.
I had the Falcons last week in both contests, the Super Contest and the Circus Sports Million. And because I thought it was going to be a close game that they could score points. And that's exactly what it was. Then Matt Ryan throws multiple pick sixes out of nowhere and they don't come close to covering. And so I'm like, done with this team now. You know, Giants are a favorite, and with how they played, you know, how could you do that? But I mean, this is a defense the Giants should have no problem scoring points on after putting up 29 last week. Atlanta's featuring Cordarrelle Patterson too much. I mean, that should tell you Arthur Smith doesn't know what he's doing at this point. If that's your game plan, is let's throw Cordarrelle Patterson out there as our key running back.
He looks pretty good.
And let's throw him the ball. So I mean, yeah, but he's got a touchdown, but what do you have, like 7 carries for 11 yards or some crazy?
No. Yeah.
Like, you need a running back, you know, if you want to play some Derrick Henry type of football, you got to go get a running back. So I have a low home field rating for the Giants. Otherwise, I'd like this pick more at 3. I lay it if it gets down to 2.5, but my lean is to the Giants. I know we're looking for another parlay team. I would parlay either the Giants at -3 or the Patriots at -3. The only reason I didn't put either one in as a best bet is because I think it could come down a little bit and I would take it there instead.
I don't love this game. I don't see how you can. If I'm Arthur Blank, I'm having an absolute panic attack that I made a huge mistake with Arthur Smith. And I don't want to thrash Arthur Smith 2 games into his tenure, but it's not like he played the 85 Bears here and the Eagles and the Buccaneers. I mean, I know you can't run against Tampa, but I mean, just, you got to scheme something up to get, I mean, we thought Calvin Ridley might lead the league in receiving yards this year. Kyle Pitts is supposed to be a franchise changing.
Hard to throw when you're on your back.
I know, but man, they got like 3 first round picks on that offensive line too. It's a problem, Pete.
No, it's a bad team right now.
Yeah.
They lost Alex Mack. Alex Mack goes to moves on, and you know, anywhere he shows up, he Larry Hartstein was making this point before the season, that offense just elevates, and now you know, the corollary is he leaves the team and it might fall apart offensively on the line.
You can't factor in is the brain of the center. That's such an important position, and people just look, he's not as physical as he used to be, Mack. I don't think he's as good as he used to be, but the brain is so valuable.
Remember I always point to this when people talk about Alex Mack too. It's like the 2014 Browns were leading the AFC North. And when he broke his leg, and then they cratered, and then they went 3-13 the next year. I believe Mike Pettine got fired and Hugh Jackson went 1-15. I mean,
do you have a pick on this game or not?
No, okay. I was going to let you pick between,
we need another pick for the parlay.
Yeah. Giants or Patriots -3.
I'll take the Patriots.
Okay. Patriots it is. All right. Yeah. I got no pick on the Falcons versus the Giants, but I do think there's some possible. I'll tell you what, this is a sad state of affairs. I dropped Jameis Winston for Daniel Jones in a fantasy league. That's where
we're good move. I mean, that level of quarterback, you should be playing matchups anyway. You don't get much better than that Atlanta matchup.
I got Trey Lance sitting on the bench. I'm hoping he comes in about in a few weeks. I'll play matchups till then. But, yeah, I mean, I think Daniel Jones over rushing yards. Good prop to bet here. The Falcons defense is hot trash, and hopefully they'll let Danny Dimes get loose with those wheels. All right, so our can't-lose parlay. I forgot what the under was. We had Washington, Buffalo under 45.5. And then we added Tennessee -5. And then we added Patriots -3. That's our can't lose parlay of the week. We get one, and all of a sudden we're right back on track. We got two. You lose two, you win one. You're still up big money. Pete Prisco's best bets: Vikings Seahawks over 55.5. Washington +7.5. Bucks Rams over 55.5. Ravens -8. Chargers +6.5, and the Chargers over, which I think is up 54.5. That's a lot. If you're right, Pete, this is gonna be a fun fantasy week because there's a lot of points coming.
Because last week was awful fantasy wise.
Yeah,
so at least the 1 o'clock games were terrible.
1 o'clock games were awful. RJ's best bets: Green Bay +3.5, Seattle -1.5, Tennessee -5, Detroit +8, Cleveland -7, and a teaser with Buffalo and the Los Angeles Rams. Buffalo down to 1.5, the Rams +7.5, and my best bets. Boy, I got a lot of best bets. Washington +7.5, Titans -5, Bucks -1.5, Eagles +3.5, Pats -3, Bengals Steelers under, Cardinals Jaguars over, Seahawks Vikings over, Dolphins Raiders under. 8. Is that 9 picks? 9 best bets. What could go wrong?
What are you doing?
I don't know. I just sort of, I like the picks. I don't know. I love the card, Pete.
Oh, there you go. There it is. I
love the card. Seeing the ball. No, we'll see. I like those totals maybe better than the sides. But, okay, buddy. All right. That's the show. Great stuff. Let's stay hot. Pete, RJ, always a pleasure, fellas.
You got it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.